Because it is a new year, I'd like to read to us from, or a new year almost, I'd like to read to us from Psalm 90 this morning. If you would listen again to the Lord's word. It's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath. We have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be, and be sorry for your servants? O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This is the Lord's word. Would you please be seated, friends? And would you bow with me as we go to the Lord and as we seek his blessing? Again, O Lord, we thank you for this day and pray that your word would go forward with power to encourage and to set free and to bless your people. We would ask, Lord, that you would keep the evil one from our midst, and that you would keep the seed of the gospel from being taken away, that you would give strength to this your servant, that you would grant freedom and faithfulness to your word, and likewise, Father, that you would loosen ears and enliven hearts to receive these things, to go away from this place changed today, because it is you, it is your word, and it speaks of you. So bless us, we pray. Again, extend your kindness to us in this congregation. Advance your kingdom and cause the kingdom of Satan great injury. I do humbly ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are at the end of another year. It's always interesting to watch the news because, you know, they do all of those summary stories. The thousands of celebrities who died this year. The latest scandals that have rocked 2019. I mean, they give us the whole panoply of all of these things. 2019 was truly a year of political scandal, a year of loss. Consider all of the shootings that have taken place, the school shootings, the shootings at Walmarts and mosques and synagogues. Even yesterday, we hear in the news that 5 in a synagogue were shot. And just this week, we heard of the persecutions yet again, becoming a routine thing, isn't it? 11 people the day after Christmas, one shot and 11 beheaded in Nigeria, again at the hands of militant Muslims. We've had another year of work, of hard work, of many struggles, be it with health or with relationships. Here we go. We come to the end of 2019 and we're almost panting. Difficult at times to get out of bed because you go, do I really have to face one more day of this? And here we are, about to enter a new year, a new decade. And you know what we can be guaranteed in this new year? Political scandal. More loss. More shootings. More persecutions. Gee, what a happy topic, huh? What a happy topic. You will get up again Thursday morning, January 2nd. Hoping you'll wake up January 1st, but I'm skipping one day to say January 2nd. You'll get up, you'll go to work, and you'll have weeds in the garden. You'll have equipment that breaks down, tires that pop, and hydraulic lines that pop a cork. And we'll continue to struggle with health, and we'll continue to struggle with relationships. And guess what? You're all getting older. You're all getting older, as am I. And we are all one day and one year closer to the day of our death. It reminds me of the saying that I've heard so often, life is hard, and then you die. This is wisdom. This is wisdom in the world in which we live. This is a psalm that is quite wise because it tells us the way things are. It doesn't tickle our ears. It doesn't make us necessarily feel good, but it is good because of the things that Moses would write. It's the oldest of the psalms as it was written by Moses, we are told, the man of God. It is the prayer of God's servant for God's people, and it's offered up during and nearing the end of the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. Remember, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They were nearing that 40-year mark. They wandered for 40 years. 1 year represented one day of the spies. If you will just turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. By reading this, I wanted to put us in a little bit of a frame of mind of what Moses was perhaps reflecting upon. In Numbers 14, verses 32 through 35. But as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days. For every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this I will do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, and there they will die. It was again, remember, the spies were supposed to go into the land. The Lord had promised them, you're going to have this land. And the 12 spies went in, and the 12 came out, and 10 of the 12 said, this isn't going to happen. We can't do this. We can't take this land. Only two believed the Lord's word. Only two believed out of 12. And those two would go on to inherit the land. They would go on to enter into the promised land, but the rest would die in the wilderness because of their faithfulness, because of their evil. They were never allowed to enter this promised land. And again, but as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. Imagine what Moses would have seen every single day as the shepherd of Israel, as the man who would lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Every day, the camp would be full of death, as almost an entire generation of people would drop dead. Every day he would hear in the camp the cries of anguish as this generation of Israelites perished. They were weeded out. They would not be allowed to enter that promised land. The psalm, Psalm 90, is sobering. It addresses the brevity and the bitterness of life for the Israelite, as well as all men in general. It's placed in Scripture, my friends, to teach us all where the only remedy for the brevity and bitterness of life can be found. The reality is, as we come into a congregation, and I'm painfully aware of this, having struggled with it myself, sometimes the last place you want to be on a Sunday morning is sitting in church. because you're so tied up in knots about what's going on in your life. The reality is, as you watch the news and you go, this, something's wrong here. And the older you get and the more you've seen the glory dim, you've seen the nation and how we've shifted from what we once were, and you see the corruption, you tend to lose heart. And you think, man, is this supposed to be the good life? Because it's awfully hard. Moses is writing from this perspective. Again, he's writing this as he's been watching for years now. Years. Death. A whole generation die off. And he knows very well why they're dying off. And why the plane was told to circle the airport for 40 years. It was so that an entire generation would die. It was judgment. It's sorrow. And the world we live in is full of sorrow. And that's why I started by remarking what 2019 was like and what 2020 is going to be like, because we're leaving one year, a year plagued by sorrow. And if you think, it's full of sorrow. And if you think 2020 is going to lose that, hate to be the one that bursts your bubble. I love even numbers. I'm extremely OCD. 2020, what a great number. But don't think in substance it's going to be any different than 2019. I think, barring revival and awakening in our land, what we can be guaranteed of is that 2020 is going to be a little bit to a lot worse. Because that's the trajectory we're on. You can't embrace sin as a nation and think, everything's going to go well. We're watching the stock market climb. Hooray. Who knows if we'll actually see the fruits of the stock market rising. The whole thing can come crashing down. Right? But I'm not here to preach bad news. There actually is a beautiful message here. But it's beautiful because we've tasted and seen the dark side of life. And that's what makes the gospel such a beautiful thing. Because the reality is that the sun is always most beautiful after the storm, once you've seen the rages of a storm. So again, listen to verses 1 through 6 as we consider that we have a need in this life. We have a need of a God who is infinite. Verses 1 through 6. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night, you have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. He starts off by saying, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. He states a fact. In all generations, you've been our dwelling place. You've been our hiding place. Moses would write in Deuteronomy 33, the eternal God is a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you and said, destroy. So Israel dwells in security. Friends, consider this, that since the time of Abraham, the Lord's people had had no home. They had been enslaved in Egypt. They had no home. As Moses is writing this, they are still wandering all around the wilderness until that whole generation dies off. Since Abraham, they'd had no home to call their own. But they were not without a place of refuge, for the Lord himself was their refuge. Brought me a strange sense of security knowing this. My wife and I have moved, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not looking to move, at least anytime soon. But let's say I had to. This isn't an announcement, so don't worry. We we sometimes feel like we've been nomads our whole married life. And as soon as a congregation gets tired of you, they say, see ya. And you go, oh, I guess I have to move again. And so we have oftentimes felt like, where's our home? And I found the answer. The Lord. The Lord's our home. And the Israelites wandering all about. We have no home. We have no home. And Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord is our home. And we're passing through this world. The home is where the heart is, right? It's not stuck between walls of plaster over on 4th Street. But the heart is with the Lord, and the Lord was with his people, and the Lord was the dwelling place of his people. And what better place than to be at home, to find a hiding place in a God who is permanent. Moses is pointing to people. Look, consider who the Lord is. Consider his permanence. What better to have as a hiding place, a refuge, than him who before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This is a refuge. This is the place for you to hide, even in a world full of turmoil and chaos. It's to hide ourselves in the Lord. What's more permanent, more fixed, and unshakable than the Lord? In man's minds, it's the mountains. Look at the permanence of the earth and the world being thousands of years old, continuing to rotate and to sustain life. Look at the mountains. When I came here 10 years ago, those mountains were there. Some of you have been here for 40 years. Some of you have been here longer. Have those mountains changed? And we say, those are a fixture in Lander, Wyoming. Those are a fixture in Crowheart. Do you realize there's something more permanent than those mountains? The Lord does not change, but from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He has no beginning, and he will never have an end. And he is always faithful to his people. This is the Lord, and he cannot be placed in a box. Moses points to what we can consider and says that God is greater than these. And this makes him a true dwelling place. This makes the Lord a true dwelling place. The Lord is permanent, but notice what Moses says, you are not. The Lord is permanent, and you are not. Verses 3 through 6. It has been a serious problem from the oldest of times that man sets himself up in a position to be idolized and worshipped by others, to make himself out to be the Lord of his own life. Moses leaves no room for such idolatrous thinking, but compares God's immutability and immovability with man's transient life. He says, you turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, for as a watch in the night you have swept them away like a flood, they fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. God turns man back into dust. What's your ability to change this life? What are you hoping in? What are you placing your confidence in for the year 2020? What are you looking to say, this will fix it? What did you say last year at this time before entering into 2019? This year, right? And we come up with all of the resolutions, and I'm not saying it's not a good thing to not have goals, right? How did you do this past year on making your life better in this world with your resolutions? You going to try it again this year? Everyone's looking for happiness. As the old song says, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Man turns back into dust. God turns man back into dust because of our sin. We were made from the dust of the earth, and back to dust we will return. Man has no permanence. We are frail and we are feeble. We are no refuge for each other. We are no refuge for ourselves. Consider, just for a second, how many of you, just being sick in the last few weeks, how were you able to fight it? How many days were you on your back? After all, it was just a bacteria, right? How did you do against such a small thing? For crying out loud, you eat a bad piece of lettuce and you're stuck in bed for days. How impervious do you think you are? If nothing says frailty, it's like getting a cold and feeling like I can't move. I'm dying. Man is frail, and the breath of life is in his nostrils. And Moses' point is, God is an everlasting refuge, and you're frail. You can't deliver yourself. You're not going to change 2020. You're not one to put your hope in for 2020 and making this world a better place. But the Lord is timeless. He's ageless. Daniel would call him the Ancient of Days. With God, figuratively speaking, 1,000 years are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. To God, 1,000 years is like 3 or 4 hours to us. 1,000 years is like nothing to the God who created all things. But man, he is swept away like floodwaters. His life slips and slides away. He is like grass, which in the morning sprouts and has some tinge of green, and by the afternoon it's brown and it's gone. How quickly men come and go. Even the heroes, they come and go. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. I remember this dawned on me quite extensively as I considered that my grandmother, who was born in 1899, we used to say, Grandma, you know, if you live to be 100, you will have lived in 3 centuries. She died just short of 3 centuries. But then I thought about my grandmother, born in 1899, and how I was praying to the same God that she was praying to as a little girl. And she had grown up and gotten old. And now I'm growing up and I'm getting old. And I'm feeling it, as are many of you. But the Lord is not. He hasn't changed. He's not weakened, and his eye is not dimmed, and his arm is not weak. He's not tired. His glory is not diminished one little bit. He's from everlasting to everlasting, more permanent than the mountains. Why do we have need of the Lord? Why do we have need of this infinite one? Could you please just look around you? Just for a second, I want you to consider the world we're living in. I had a friend, a neighbor once in Fort Wayne, who said to me, you know, and it sounded profound to him, I think. He said, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? We've all heard that saying. When you consider what man is, we should be asking, you know, why does anything good ever happen at all in this world? That's a very different question. And it's wonderfully refreshing if you ask that and actually believe it. Then you are actually pleased when something good does happen. Friends, we need to consider that you and I are under the consuming anger of the Lord. You know why there's suffering in the world? Because the world is full of sinners. And the world is under a curse. This is an important thing to realize. The suffering we've experienced, the sadness and the sorrows we experienced in 2019 and that are coming to us in 2020. And I'm not a prophet. You can just look at this and say, of course this is what's going to happen. because we're dealing with a fallen world and we're dealing with sinners just like you and me. Listen to verses 7 through 12. For we have been consumed by your anger. This is Moses speaking. This is the people of God. He and they, we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath. We have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins. These aren't the ones we're announcing to everyone else. These are the things that we cherish in our heart, the lust, the greed, the murder, the hatred. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Friends, Moses doesn't speak a pleasant commentary on man's condition. Rather, he shows us why refuge in the infinite should be sought. He has stated the reality of who God is, and now he states the reality of man. He states what we are. He states what our world is and why we see, every day we turn on the news, why we see such sad things. He states why we have problems in our relationships, at work, in family, with extended family, why we have struggles, even in our own midst. Ask yourself this. If men are really so good as the world would have us believe, why are they so corrupt? You just ask yourself that. If you want a dose of reality, you start asking yourself, why is Washington, D.C. so corrupt? Until the hearts of men change, no government system is going to work properly. There's a problem, isn't there? God is angry with man because of man's sin. Man's condition is bad, and it is not good. God is not pleased with man, but angry with him because of his sin. This idea that God is generally happy with mankind has no foundation in the scripture. Right? So when you see suffering in the news, when you hear about it, when you experience it, what you should be saying to yourself is, that's come upon us because of our sin. Sickness and disease and all of these things because there was sin. And we live in a fallen world. That's bound to make us think towards a solution, doesn't it? We have a problem and there is a solution. The Lord is that solution. Listen to how the scriptures speak. In verses 7, 8, and 9, for we have been consumed, notice, by your anger and by your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence, for all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. Anger, wrath, fury, why? He says, because of our iniquities, our sins, the transgressions of his holy law. The transgressing of his holy character. We've crossed God. And he told us, you shall not murder. And what have we done? We've murdered 60 million innocent children. We've murdered them. And we wonder why our nation is suffering? I don't. We're suffering because we've rebelled against the Lord. We have shed innocent blood. Will we be held unaccountable? Man is a sinner. It is a fundamental Bible truth. Not that men are good, but that men are sinful. Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, said Paul. In the garden, our first parents ate the fruit which God commanded them not to eat, and all sinned in him. And because of that original sin, we are sinners. We sin. We sin publicly. We sin privately. We sin in our hearts secretly. But all these things are seen by the Lord. We sin outwardly, inwardly, in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we do, which we shouldn't, and what we don't do, which we ought to be doing. We have violated God's holy standard, and nothing can be hid from God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 39, "With reproofs you chasten a man for iniquity. You consume us as a moth. What is precious to him? Surely every man is a mere breath." God is angry with us because of our sin. And because of this, our days are hard and our lives end with no glory. Because of God's anger with our sin, all our days have declined and we have finished our years like a sigh. Very anticlimactic, like that firework you light and you watch it burn and burn and burn, and then it goes, and nothing happens. That's the reality of the world we're living in. That's the reality of 2019. That's the reality of 2020. Our lives are brief. 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Our lot is misery and hardship. This is what we've deserved. And this is why the world in 2019 is what it is, and why the world in 2020 will be no different. And yet Moses prays. Now listen, this is where the psalm takes this turn. And the reality is, friends, is that some of you don't see the need for the gospel because you're living in la-la land. Really, you are. You're living in la-la land because you still think, oh, I'm good and the world's a beautiful place. The world is beautiful. If you consider it, try to consider it objectively and say those are beautiful mountains and they're going to get a whole lot prettier one day. But if you think that man is basically good and all these people are really lovely, the things that you find attractive and the things that you find beautiful and good are all because of God's grace. It is not because of men, but by God's grace, even evil men can do kind acts. That doesn't make them good, and it doesn't make them undeserving of God's wrath. It just means God has withheld his wrath from being poured out on them at that moment. We live in a fallen world. The Christian needs to understand this. Not to be a killjoy, but in order, friends, to understand how precious and beautiful the gospel message is of Jesus Christ, how necessary the gospel is to people who are sitting in darkness today, who think that the world is a beautiful place and aren't we all great? And the truth of the matter is we're in rebellion against the holy God. Teach us to number our days, says Moses. We do not always see our misery and hardships. Some probably even think they are doing well and that God is very pleased with their spiritual condition. That their lives, they think, are not lives of labor and sorrow. But he writes, "Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes 7, "Death is the end of every man, and the living ought to take it to heart." Beloved, you may be well fed and rested, but do not think that God is not angry with sin every day. The sin of our lusts and our greed, our pride, our immoralities, and our murders. We don't even have a clue as to how angry the Lord is with our sin. Therefore, let us ask the Lord to teach us to number our days, that we may live them wisely and present to the Lord a heart of wisdom. You children, pray that the Lord would teach you to number your days. Understand that your days are going to come to an end as well. at the end of your life, you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to answer for everything you did in the fifth grade, everything you did in senior high. You're going to answer to the Lord for this. And so you should be praying, and we should all be praying. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might come to understand the link between sin and death. Every time you see a death, it is because there is sin in this world. We should live this way, understanding that death has come because of sin. That we would link our own sin with our own demise, and that God is angry, or was angry, with me because of my sin. And because of my sin, both original and actual, I will suffer death and separation from God for all eternity. I suffer in this world because of sin. The world suffers in this world because of sin. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's the sobriety with which we must go into 2020, understanding. Moses prayed thus for the Israelites who would be left behind after the generation passed, so that they would not forsake the Lord. And we truly need to pray this for ourselves, for until you see your weight of sin and of what it deserves, will you ever seek refuge in the Almighty? And I want you to notice, friends, that Moses, being a prince of Egypt, and there was no shortage of gods in Egypt, Moses offers no other hope to the Israelites except the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what Moses would say to the attitude of pluralism in our day? That there's many ways to God, that there's many religions and they're all right. You know what he would say to that? This learned, educated, extremely erudite man. You know what he would say? He'd say, poppycock. There is not. There's no other ways to God except through the Lord's Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's what Moses would say to you. And so this notion that I can choose my own religion and I'll get there. No, you won't. You'll get there on God's terms and in God's manner, or you will not get there at all. Take this to heart. Will you seek refuge in the Almighty? What shall be our hope, and to what should we cling in 2020? Friends, we should cling to the Lord's loving kindness, as it alone is the remedy for life's brevity and life's bitterness. Only the Lord's loving kindness is the remedy for the brevity and the bitterness that we experience and that we see all around us. This is why the Christian has every reason to rejoice and not be embittered. It sounds like a dour thing, but if you recognize the truth of this, you're set free. But if you ignore the things that Moses is saying, if you ignore those things, you'll remain in the bitterness of your soul. The answer is the Lord's loving kindness. Verses 13 through 17, do return, O Lord. How long will it be, and be sorry for your servants? O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, in the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, in your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Moses' prayer is that the Lord would return to them and be sorry for them. This is the remedy for what this world faces at this time. By the way, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Because the Bible holds forth this remedy to us time and again. And understand, as we go into this new year, not only reading your Bibles and praying, but make it your goal to tell others where they might find this remedy for the brevity and the bitterness that they feel and experience. And I'm convinced that there are a lot of people who go around through life with a nice big smile on their face, but inside they're suffering. They keep the smile on their face because they don't want to burden other people with their troubles. And I know you and I feel and struggle with our emotions and our feelings and the things that hurt us. But you know, when you go to bed at night, you know the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? The Christian, he has his struggles, just like the non-Christian does. But at night, you know what I do? I lay down on my pillow and I look at the ceiling. And I think to myself, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me today. And all the stupid things I did today, all the things I shouldn't have said and did, and all the things I should have said and didn't, the way I intoned my voice or looked at my dog or pet him too hard or kicked the cat. Forgive me for these things and not being a better image maker or image bearer. Forgive me for these things. And I go to bed. And while I'm plagued by thoughts and my emotions are up and down, I have this hope that if I die, I know I'll never be stripped from the hands of the Lord. The non-Christian, he goes to bed and he's afraid, because he has no place to dwell secure. What if my house burns down? What if the stock market doesn't climb tomorrow but actually drops? What if my wife walks out on me? Or my husband leaves me? What then? The Lord's loving kindness, friends, is the remedy for life's brevity and bitterness, and Moses cries for mercy. If only God is infinite, if it is God who was offended with our sin and who consumes us in his anger, then it is to him that we must go and plead for mercy. Return, he cries. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? In Psalm 6:4, return, O Lord, rescue my soul, save me because of your loving kindness. Psalm 80, verse 14, O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech you, look down from heaven and see and take care of this vine. What is he asking for? Look upon us with your kindness because of your love, because of your faithfulness to your word, to your promise. Would you turn back to us in the midst of our misery? Would you look upon us? All we can do is cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And guess what? The Lord is merciful to the sinner. And he says, turn our labor and sorrow into gladness. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. The prayer is to have gladness amidst a world of sorrow and hardship. Do you see this? Yes, there's death every day in the news. Yes, there's great corruption in Washington, D.C. Yes, there's great corruption even in Lander, Wyoming. But the Lord, the infinite one, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one whose throne is righteousness, he's not corrupt. He's not deaf. Right? There's no hypocrisy in him. Rather than what is consumed in fleeting, he says, let your work and majesty appear to your servants. Let the perishable be taken up with the imperishable instead of that which is consuming and failing. Verse 17, he says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Make our short lives count for something. Confirm and give permanence to, make it have some lasting impact instead of dying and being forgotten. Again, for those who are missing Sunday school, you're missing Sunday school. And you're missing a wonderful opportunity to hear about these missionaries this morning. Tim did a wonderful job teaching us about Gladys Allward. And a little girl who's stuck cleaning houses, really wants to go to China, but she can't get out of the house cleaning business. What's the significance? What's the purpose of this? How is this going to further the kingdom? And it's such an interesting story of how she labored to get to China and how eventually she would get to China. And guess what she would end up having to do again? Wait on people. And she waits on people. You know, we look at these things and go, she's just a house cleaner. Well, she's not going to make any serious impact for the kingdom of God. We need special people. And we discount the fact that God works through ordinary things. And here was this girl with this intense drive and calling of God on her life to go to China, who goes to China, and because she's this English woman, and because of what she has done and where she has been, the Lord affords and gives opportunities for her to minister in unbinding feet and going to a prison riot and talking people to dropping down their butcher cleavers and having peace and bringing about reform and then leading children and seeing people convert to Christ. This ordinary woman. Let your work confirm rather the work of our hands. Make our short lives count for something. Give permanence to it. Make it have some lasting impact instead of dying and being forgotten. Here's a psalm, Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. James says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Was it? Was his prayer answered? Friends, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15? I'd like to read to us verses 50 through 58. We live in this fallen world where there's suffering, where there's no permanence, where there's the world is being consumed by the wrath of God, and we were a people who suffered right along with them and do suffer right along with them. And yet we cry out, is anything going to be different in 2020, different than what it was in 2019? And what do we do with this big mess that we're in? Here's our answer. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You see how this passage answers what Moses had been praying about. We have no permanence in this world. We are consumed by the wrath of God. Our lives are short, 70 or 80 years, and we end with no climax, no nothing to leave, no bang. And we just fade away. You understand that this is changed in Jesus Christ. This changes everything. Jesus Christ changes everything. That in Jesus Christ we have a refuge that is permanent. Whether our homes burn or stand, or whether the Lord rips us from here and places us somewhere else, we have a permanent home because God is our God in Jesus Christ. We have a permanent solution for our temporalness. He has dealt with the consequences of our sin, the thing that incurred the wrath of God. Christ has answered that by taking on himself the wrath of God in place of his people. He has turned our sorrowful lives into times of joy and rejoicing. And he has made it that even the work of our hands in this life, they count for something, like he did with Gladys Allward, like he did with Hudson Taylor, like he did with Eric Little. He's taken our lives and he's given them a purpose and meaning, and the work that we do in him is never in vain. Even if it, judged by the world and by yourself, is being small and insignificant, the Lord is using it. He did all of this. God, our God, has done all of this through Jesus Christ. In him, he has undone the effects of the curse, and he gives us a reason to wake up Thursday morning with joy and a smile, knowing that he will be with us in 2020 to advance his kingdom and his gospel. Do not despair because of what you see, but realize the world needs the Lord. They need Jesus Christ. And so we should be looking to 2020 as an opportunity, again, while we have breath, to speak of the Lord and to advance his kingdom and to not be timid. But the Lord will always be with us. He is our home. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this day and thank you for this Psalm of Moses. We thank you, Father, that through the trials he underwent and the death and the suffering he experienced in Israel, seeing all these people die because of their unbelief, and yet he would look to you and he would direct us to look to you as well. We thank you, Father, that you have heard his prayer and that you have heard our prayers, and that you look down from heaven and you were not cold or indifferent to your people, but you saw us in our misery and you took pity. You gave your son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. And we pray that we would love you in response to your great love for us, and that we would love those who yet remain in darkness. Please, we would pray that in this year coming ahead, that you would open doors for your gospel, that we would be those, Lord, whose eyes are firmly fixed upon you, and that we would not be afraid of what is to come, for we know that you hold us in your hands. Thank you again for your faithfulness. We pray that across this globe, you would encourage and strengthen your people, that they would not be shaken. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.